I've always thought this. I love about that song that he's not saying in it, I need someone to love me. He's saying, I need somebody to love. It's not about getting, it's about giving. And I think that that's part of the power of that song is it touches that desire within us that we want to give, right? We want to love, we want to care. And that's an innate need. And here I go already, and I haven't even started yet. But that's like, so that was the perfect song to choose, John. So I'm so grateful for that. And like I said, we're talking about gratitude this month, and so our theme is for the month is the courage to be grateful. This month, this year, we have been walking through the months in these ways of living a spiritual life and realizing that it takes courage to step in to do it. It takes courage to step up and be kind. It takes courage to step up and be grateful. It takes courage to step up and be generous. It takes courage to step up and have faith when we're faced with something that doesn't look like that. That we should be doing it. When there's a chance that we're going to be judged by somebody else who thinks we're foolish or naive or Pollyanna or whatever, I don't care, I've given that up finally. You know? Well, I say that and then I'll give it up again. You know? But the idea, you know what, when we look at the state of the world and what's going on out there, I would be, you know, I'm kind of honored to be seen as that naive, positive person over there. I'd be glad to be judged as that because I know I usually start with the end at the beginning. So what I know is that how I live, how I align myself with life is how life is going to give it back to me. And so if I align myself in a way of knowing that there is peace and that I create situations of joy and that I'm generous of my heart and I am kind and I'm grateful for what there is, I know I'm going to get more of that. There we go. You want to have lunch? You know I got more to say than that. But first, we're going to start. I was blessed this weekend, excuse me, on Friday to go back and see evolutionary leader Jean Houston again down at Seaside. She was in town, and I saw her last year. And I'll tell you, the pieces of wisdom that I got from her were her jokes. So, I mean, she's got great wisdom and wonderful things, but the thing that I got from her was a joke, so I have to tell you a little story here. Mr. and Mrs. Flea were out on a date night. They went to the movies. And after the movie, they came out, and they were walking along, and Mr. Flea looks at Mrs. Flea and says, "Well, should we walk home or should we take the dog?" Thank you, Jean Houston. I'll get my humor over wherever I can find it, you know what I mean? Even from an evolutionary leader. So the feeling of that joke, right, the feeling of that laughter, the feeling of humor, what it does is it makes us be present. It makes us be present to that moment because, and it connects us on a deep level with our mind and our heart and our being. And so it's one of those things that allows us to be present. And when you're present, you can start to experience the blessing of your life. You can start to experience the truth of who you are. Because we're not focused on how I screwed it up in the past and how I put my foot in my mouth again, which I always do, and how I got so-and-so mad at me about blah, 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 right? And I'm not worried, I'm not afraid about what's going to come. I'm in the moment. In laughter, you're not worried about what's going to happen next week, are you? No, you're not. When you're laughing, you're not concerned about how somebody might be mad at you. Right? You can't, in the middle of that laughter. And so there's this sense of joy and there's this sense of presence that we are when we're, that we can experience when we get present to the moment. And that is really the goal for this month. And I would say it's the goal all the time. But specifically in this month, we're going to focus on ways that we can be present to what the truth of the moment is rather than the story that we're telling ourselves. Rather than all of those stories about our limitations and how we screwed up and how blah, 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 all of that story, just we need to throw that out and be present to this moment and this breath because this moment is a blessing. So I forgot to tell you my topic today is the simple joy of living from a grateful heart. And again, it's simple, but it's not always easy. And gratitude is that magic elixir, I'll tell you. It's that spiritual practice that's magical. It really shifts our attitudes. It shifts our way of being. And when we make ourselves, because let me tell you, sometimes the cynical part of me, there is a part of me that's still 22 years old, living in New York City, cynical about every single thing that there is. And thinking that I'm all that in a bag of chips because I was in opposition to everything that was, right? And so there's that part of me that still lives in that and thinks it's cool to do that. It's not cool to be cynical. It's not cool. It's not the way to make any lasting change. It's not for ourselves or for the world. And so our idea of making ourselves practice gratitude, even in the midst of challenge, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst when it feels really good to gossip. Because let me tell you, I know the pleasure of a good gossip session. You know, it feels really good to get in the know of that, you know. But what we know is that that's toxic. It's toxic. It's toxic for our minds and our hearts and our lives. And so we're focusing this month on gratitude and what it can do for us. Now, when you create a daily gratitude practice, you begin to notice what's right in your life, not what's wrong. We have been brought up to look at what's wrong, what needs fixing, what we're challenged with, what it is that we've done wrong. We are socialized into that fix-it mentality. But what gratitude does is when we practice gratitude on a daily basis, what it does is it reminds us of what's right. It trains our sight. I call it spiritual sight. It trains our sight to be able to look and see, look, all of this may be a challenge. It may not be easy right now, but take a look at this. This is the blessing right now. There's always a blessing, but we don't even see it most of the time because we're looking at what's wrong. But if we would just start to look at what's right, it multiplies. It expands. It reveals its gifts and its wisdom. It's there for a reason. And so even in we're going into Thanksgiving. We're going into Christmas. Let me tell you, I know we're having dinners with our aunts and our uncles and our cousins and our neighbors and our friends who may have different opinions and things. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the world today, things are starting to amp up again. Okay, and so especially right as we go into the holiday season, happy Thanksgiving, have some turkey, you know. And so my goal on this, part of the reason why I focus on this in the beginning of November is for us all to be prepped, that we are ready and our spiritual muscles are strengthened enough that we can walk into any group and be a force for good, whether someone agrees with you or not. You could be a place of peace and of light no matter what happens, whatever the conversation may be. And again, I'm not attaching to any side or any part or whatever. I just know that there's a lot of opposition happening right now. But each one of us gets to be that bridge, that place of peace. And the way we get to that is through practicing gratitude. It's through developing our spiritual sight to realize that something greater is revealing itself here now. Now, one of the things I do love about gratitude is that it's been really well researched. It's been researched. It's one of those things that you can actually research and has been well researched. And so research has confirmed that the emotional and physical benefits of giving thanks. And so I wanted to share some of this with you. One of the most powerful studies comes from Martin Seligman's Reflective Happiness website. After counting their blessings for 1 week, 92% of the people in the study felt happier. And 94% of people who said they were depressed felt less depressed. That means gratitude is as powerful as antidepressants and therapy. Don't stop taking your meds. I did not tell you to stop taking meds. But how easy it is to amp everything up if we practice this spiritual practice. In other studies, 90% of people found that expressing gratitude made them more joyful. 84% said it reduced stress and depression and helped create optimism. And 78% said that it gave them more energy. Okay. Research also shows that being grateful means you'll take better care of yourself. Folks who kept a weekly gratitude journal had fewer physical problems and exercised more regularly, ate better, and got regular checkups. It seems that when we recognize ourselves and our lives as the precious once-in-a-lifetime opportunities that they are, we take better care of ourselves. It also makes us kinder, more generous to others, less materialistic, more forgiving, more able to deal with stress, and less prone to bitterness, envy, resentment, and greed. When you take all these good effects together, practicing appreciation adds 6.9 years to your life. Now, that's greater statistically than stopping smoking or even just exercising. Gratitude's important. And we already know this. This isn't anything new. But the research done that was done on Buddhist monks' brains, what we're beginning to realize scientifically, which, hello, we've known forever, is that when we think positive thoughts, such as gratitude, kindness, optimism, we activate our left prefrontal cortex and flood our bodies with the feel-good hormones, which give us an upswing in mood in the short term and strengthen our immune system in the long run. So conversely, when we think negative, angry, worried, hopeless, pessimistic thoughts, what are we doing? We're activating our right prefrontal cortex and flood our body with the stress hormones that send us into flight or fight, which depresses our mood and suppresses our immune system. In other words, we're bathing our bodies, our minds, and our spirits in good or bad chemicals based on our thoughts. And gratitude is one of the most powerful chemical creators. Okay, well, we knew that, right? And I don't really necessarily need science to back up my belief. I'm pretty good with this. I realize this. And I've got plenty of years of experience working with people knowing that that's true. But it is kind of nice to know that, yeah, they're proving it. And so it's one simple switch in our minds. Can we start to see the blessing rather than the problem? Can we start to let go of the expectations that we're holding and the high standard we have for everybody else around us, right? And allow what is to be, and find a way to appreciate it. That's the work. But that's the most powerful work, and it affects us in our state of being, it affects us in our experience of life, and it affects us on a cellular level. We are able to move out of those preconditioned ideas of that we've been taught to look for what's wrong, to start to appreciate what's right. The gift of practicing gratitude, and I came to this reading all of these different things about it and just contemplating it this week. What I realized was that gratitude makes you be present. It makes you be present in this moment. And in this moment, everything's okay. Even if you're in the middle of a challenging diagnosis, even if you're in the middle of a horrible financial crisis, even if you're in a fight with your beloved, if you can breathe in this moment and realize that you are okay, that you have all that you need in this moment, the next moment is birthed from that. And this is the key to this. We are constantly creating our experiences from our attitudes, our thoughts, our belief systems, from where we are. So what we're experiencing today is the effect of what happened yesterday, of our mindset, of our way of thinking and seeing and relating to life from yesterday. And so today we are creating what we are going to experience tomorrow. It's not necessarily a one-for-one, but you get what I'm saying, right? Okay, so you've got a choice. Do you want to create your tomorrow from a place of gratitude and appreciation and seeing the blessing, or do you want to create it out of fear? Do you want to create it out of the fear that you're not enough, that there won't be enough, that there's something, the other shoe's going to fall, or the you know, you're going to hit the end of the line, or they're going to find me out, or whatever ideas that we're holding about ourselves? And let me tell you, I have heard almost every possible story of what people believe about themselves. I couldn't have imagined how much I would hear through this work. It's such a blessing to partner with people in their lives and to be a space where they can share their true being. But my heart cries for the negative ideas that we hold about ourselves, for how harsh we are on ourselves and how we think we're not worth anything. Each of us is a divine gift of God, and we have infinite potential and possibilities. And yeah, we've screwed up. We're human. I thought Lunch with the Rev was next week. It's this week. I wrote the announcement, which cracks me up even more than any of it, right? We are more than we think we are, but we're creating our lives. And so the idea here is that we need to be clear about what this moment is that we are creating our next out of. And we can create it out of a place of fullness and wholeness and enough. Because not only are you enough, but you have enough. You found your way here in this morning after hopefully having a wonderful, amazing night's sleep. I woke up dancing at like 6 o'clock, like, "Whoa, look at this. I never get 8 full hours. Oh my goodness. Thank you, God. It'll be dark at 4, but whatever. I'll put my chickens away early. That's okay, you know. Again, laughter. That's what I'm focusing on today. So, and the idea of it is that we feel gratitude now, right? We feel it now. If we're preoccupied with fear of what's going to happen, or if we're focused on how we were wrong in the past, you can't find anything to be grateful for. You can just see what's wrong. But we need to find a way to be present in this moment, and you can do that by finding one thing to be grateful for. And there's always one thing to be grateful for. And so I love from the reading where, in the reading, the book for this month, which is in the bookstore, by the way, cultivating an attitude of gratitude is the key to living from an open heart and living in a spirit of joyful expectation. I loved that, living in the spirit of joyful expectation. And what it reminded me of is it reminded me of the founder of religious science, the creator of the science of mind, Ernest Holmes, because he's constantly encouraging us to live from that place of joyful expectation. And so I pulled up one of his affirmations. Tina, can you push it for me? It won't work. There you go. Here it is. This is from Ernest Holmes. He says this: "The infinite powerfully flows through me in a divine direction for the good of all. I live in the joyous expectancy of all good now." Breathe that for a second. And we're going to say it together. Ready? Together. "The infinite powerfully flows through me in a divine direction for the good of all. I live in the joyous expectancy of all good now." So close your eyes for a second and take a breath. Move into that inner place. You can find it within you, where you can connect with the joyous expectancy of all good in your life. There is some exciting new goodness that's coming to you. There is something exciting available to you in the world, in your life, and it's going to show up this week. If you knew that your good was going to show up, as well as I know that Amazon's going to deliver my Prime packages on Monday, okay, how would you feel? Can you connect to that feeling within you? I want you to breathe into that place where you know your good's coming. Maybe it's just the box. You don't know what's in it, but there's some good there for you. And so I want you to pull up that feeling of knowing. What does joyful expectancy feel like within you now? You got it? Give me a nod. Yeah, you got it? How about this side? You guys got it over here on the right? There you go. All right, you can open your eyes up, back up. That's all we do. We plant a seed. We know that it's the truth for us. We know that as we pause and we connect to that deep feeling place, we call it forth. We create it. It comes forth to us. It's about living in that vibration. When we live in that vibration of expectancy, of truth, of knowing that this is just the way it is, it's not hoping. Hope is a good first step. Let me tell you, hope is a good first step. But when you can get to that place of knowing the goodness of life, the goodness of God wants to pour itself to you, it wants to give itself to you, and we just need to figure out how to open the channel to receive it. Whatever that means for each of us, we need to open the channel of receiving our good. But when you know God so well, and you know that truth so well that God wants to give its goodness, its fullness, its abundance, its prosperity through life in all things, in love and in friendship and joy and in abundance and prosperity and all of those things, when you know that that's really the truth, you can move into a place of joyous expectancy. Let us live in the spirit of joyous expectancy. So from the book also, she says, Gratitude is not just the key. Again, it's the magic key. All you need to do is use it. And the world is suddenly transformed into a beautiful wonderland in which you are invited to play. That's because, like most of the great spiritual truths, gratitude is stunningly simple. Again, it's stunningly simple. She goes on to remind us that we're here to grow our souls, to heal our wounds, at least to bless our woundedness, and become more loving, kind, fearless, and hopeful. Lao Tzu said, "If you look to others for fulfillment, you will never be truly fulfilled. If your happiness depends on money, you will never be happy with yourself. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there is nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you." So not only is gratitude an attitude, but it's a practice. And this month, we're going to look at how we can wrap our minds around the attitude of living from that grateful heart, but what the practice is that gets us there, so that it's so second nature that it's just who we are, that it's just our way of being. So I got another story for you. I'm not going to do the voice, because if I tried to do the voice, it wouldn't come out good. So there was a lovely Jewish lady from New York. Her name was Mrs. Finkelstein. And she was going in to have an operation. She had to have a heart procedure done, and it was a very scary heart procedure, and they weren't sure if she was going to make it through. And so she was getting all prepped, and she was on the table, and they were wheeling her around into the operating room, and she had this conversation with God, and she said, "God, just tell me, how long am I going to live?" And God said, 30 years. You're going to live 30 years. So as they gave her the anesthesia, she went under feeling comfortable, realizing she had 30 more years. And she came out of the operation, and she was well, but she was so excited about this life that she was going to live that she decided to fix it all. So she had the whole makeover. She had her fat sucked from her hips, and she had her stomach stapled, and she had her nose redone. They put implants in and all this place. And so when she finally healed up and was ready to leave the hospital, she left that place high, full of herself, in a Dior suit, leaving the hospital, walking across the street, and she got hit by an ambulance. She died. She goes up to heaven. She walks in and she says, "God, you told me I had 30 years. He said, "Well, sorry, I didn't recognize you." God bless Jean Houston and her stories. God bless the laughter. So let's be grateful and live the fullness of who we are, accepting who we are, finding a way to be grateful for us without having to try and transform ourselves or change ourselves into something else. Look, I can even tie it into my talk. How cool is that? When we can wrap our arms around ourselves and be grateful for who we are in all our wholeness, in all the things that we judge harshly, in all those things that we wish weren't how they are, in all the experiences that we've had, when we get the chance to, I used to teach my practitioner students this all the time, the whole goal is to be able to get to the point where you can bless each and every part of your journey, every single thing, because you know what? It got you to this moment. And this is a moment of awareness. It's a moment of being awake, and that is where our creative power lies. We can create from this moment because we have lived the amazing lives we've had. And so instead of judging ourselves so harshly and wishing that we didn't have that bleh, bleh behind us, I just realized what I just did. I'm sorry. Okay. Crack myself up today. So I guess I really do just want to laugh today. But so when we can get to the place where we can embrace it rather than try to push it away, we can accept ourselves deeply. We can find that truth, the true power of gratitude. And so this month, what we're going to do is we're going to cultivate that. We're going to find those areas where we can shine our gratitude light into and pull the good out of even the challenges. where we can pull the blessings and the learnings and the inspirations when we look with those spiritual eyes at the lives we have lived and what's happening right now. We can start to create from that higher vibration, from that more expanded place. And we can move into a place where we get all the benefits of gratitude, that our lives are longer, but we don't want a longer life. It's not a good one, right? I don't want to expand my life if I'm going to be miserable in hell. That's horrible, right? But the idea is if we can expand our lives, if we can find a place of comfort and of peace, if we can create the experiences that are wanting to come forth in our heart, we have to start today, and we have to start now. And the first way we do that is by being grateful. And so I'm going to start by being grateful for this moment and this time together, and know that this day for each of us simply unfolds in that grace. And so it